So Parashat Lech Lecha, as I always say, these parashiyot, they're so loaded, there's so much to discuss in these parashiyot. In fact, the Tiferet Shlomo, one of the Hasidish Rabbanim, Rav Shlomo from Adamsk, says that how do we know that it's a mitzvah, it's considered Divrei Torah to speak stories about Gedolim, speak stories about Tzadikim? How do we know it's Divrei Torah, it's not just nonsense? Because look at all the Sefer Bereshit and Sefer Shemot, it's all stories about our Avot. It's all stories. What's the point of all these stories? There's so much to learn from these stories about Avraham, Yitzhak, Yaakov, about the Shvatim, Moshe, Aaron, Miriam. There's so much to learn, so much to learn of values of life, life lessons. Let's begin. The parasha begins, Vayomer Hashem al Avram, and once again, if anyone here is planning on reading the Torah this week, it's Avram, it's not Avraham yet. Keep that in mind. Vayomer Hashem al Avram, Lech Lecha, go for yourself, go, Me'aretzecha, from your land, Molatecha, from your birthplace, Vet Avicha, from your father's home. Where should you go? So Hashem discusses in detail Avram Avinu's current location, but then in terms of his destination, what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu say? He's very vague. El ha'aretz asher eka, go to the place that I'm going to show you. Where? Don't worry, go and I'll show you. What's going on over here? Was this a game? Hashem is playing a game with Avram. Question number one. Question number two, Rashi points out, why lech lecha? Why does Hashem have to say go using two words? Could just say lech. Lech is one word. Why does Hashem have to use two words? Rashi points out, because there are two benefits of going. Benefit number one, lehana'atcha, for your own pleasure. It's going to be a good experience for you. Pleasure, and benefit number two, ulatovatcha. And it's also for your own good. What does that mean? It's for your pleasure and it's for your own good. What do those two words mean? Okay, those are the first two questions. Hashem tells Avram to go. Now the Mishnah in Masechet Avot points out that how many nisyonot, how many tests did Avram Avinu have? 10. This, according to most Rishonim, was the second one. Okay, the first one was Avram Avinu being thrown into the furnace. The second one is Hashem telling Avram to go. What is this test exactly? What's going on? What's so special about this nisayon, about this command that Avram Avinu told? That Hashem told Avram to go. Right? What exactly is the depth of this test, of this nisayon? So once again, recap the three questions very quickly. Question number one, Hashem is telling Avram to go. Where? Don't worry, just go. What's going on? Why is Hashem playing games with Avram? Question number two, Hashem says lech lecha, double lashon, right? Lech lecha, why lech, thank you so much. Why lech lecha? Rashi points out, lehanatcha, for your own pleasure, and letovatcha, for your own benefit. What does that mean, pleasure? What does it mean, benefit? Question number three, this was the second of the 10 tests. What was special, what was unique about this test? So to answer these questions, we must have to go all the way to Bereshit. All the way back to Parashiyot, to the creation of the world. And we have to define exactly what Shamayim is and what Aretz is. Hashem created the Shamayim and Hashem created the Aretz, the heaven and the earth. What exactly is Shamayim? What exactly is Aretz? So Aretz, the Midrash points out, Aretz, what's the shorish of the word Aretz? Anyone know? Aretz, Eretz, what's the shorish, what's the root word? Ratz, to run. Very good, excellent. Because the purpose of a man on this world is not to chill, it's to run. It's to always be on the run, it's to always be productive. Where are you supposed to be running to? Shamayim, Sham. The root word of the word Shamayim is what? Sham, there. That's where you should be running. Eretz and Shamayim, they complement each other. They're not opposites. One is supposed to lead to the other one. Eretz, you're supposed to be spending your life on this world, running, being productive, doing things, doing mitzvot. Not sitting down on your couch and watching TV with a bag of potato chips and a beer. To always be running and running and running, doing things, being productive. Where should you be running? There's a destination, Sham, over there. What's over there? Shamayim, to the next world. We live this world for the next world. One time, the Rebbe, the Riatz, one of the Lubavitcher Rebbes, so he was imprisoned, right? Every Lubavitcher Rebbe was imprisoned at some point, no? So not as a bad thing, Chas v'Shalom, like they weren't, Chas v'Shalom, we weren't criminals, but like that's how life was back then, right? That's the nisanyot that they had to go through. So one time he was taken by one of the officers, and he was beaten up, and the officer got very upset at him. He said, "Well, I don't understand, why aren't you getting upset? Why isn't this fazing you? Right? So the Rebbe said back to him, I'll tell you why. Because you live with two gods, but in one world. I live with one God, but in two worlds. Meaning, you take my life away in this world, I got another one to go to. There's always another world that I'm going to. But you have multiple gods, but you only have one world. That's why. I couldn't care less what you do to me. That's what the Rebbe said. We have another world to go to. We should be spending our time in this world trying to get to the next world. Trying to set ourselves up to the next world. We should be building that property for ourselves. So let's start from the beginning, from Bereshit. We have the Nachash, we have the snake, we have Adam, we have Chava. The Nachash goes to Adam and Chava and he says what? Eat from what? Where should you eat from? The tree of knowledge, the Etz Hadaat. What's going to happen if you eat from the Etz Hadaat? What's going to happen? What did Nachash say? You're going to be what? Like who? Like God. You're going to know everything. Right? What's the depth of this? What's Nachash trying to tell? What's he trying to convince them? Why should you be working hard in this world? Eat from this tree. It's going to be that easy fix. That one pill that you need to take that's going to make everything okay. Do it. You'll be like God. You'll know everything. Nachash represents this concept, this idea of taking it easy. Taking it easy, forgetting about the purpose of this world. So for that reason, the Nachash was punished. How is the Nachash punished? Who knows? There was a certain part of his body that was chopped off. What was it? His legs. Why the legs? Because the Nachash didn't want to run. He didn't care about running. That's what Nachash didn't want to do. He didn't care about running. So, midah keneged midah, a measure for a measure, his legs were taken away. Not only that, what was another one of his punishments? Afar tochal kol yimecha, you're going to eat dust the rest of your life. You don't want to work? You don't want to work hard? Good, you won't work hard. I'm going to make you crawl on the ground, your food is going to be right there. It's going to be right there for you. You won't have to work for your food. So people think, oh, that's a blessing. No, it's a curse. To not have to work for your food, not have to work in life is a curse. He's not dependent on anyone. He has no relationship with anyone. He has no legs. He has nowhere to run anymore. Nothing to run with. That's the curse of the Nachash. That's why his legs were chopped off. Fast forward to Parashat Noach. Noach, by the way, the Zohar Kadosh says, so Noach was supposed to be the tikkun, was supposed to be the fix of the chet, of the sin of Adam HaRishon. He's supposed to be the fix. How is he supposed to be the fix? Because what's Noach's name? Noach. What does Noach mean?
Rest.
To rest. Right? To rest. So how is Noach supposed to be the fix? If anything, it's making the problem worse. Resting. No. Noach was supposed to be the one who is mitaken when it's appropriate to rest, when it's appropriate to run. That was Noach's job. That's why his whole life, what was he doing? Doing, building a teva, being productive, talking to God, doing mitzvot. But the people of his generation were not influenced by him. And for that reason, the punishment was what? Mabul. Why? Why Mabul? Well, let's think about their sin for a second. The Pasuk says, Vatishachet ha'aretz. The land became corrupt. And what does Rashi say? What does it mean, Vatishachet ha'aretz? They what? They bowed down to idols. They served idols. What's the whole concept of serving idols? The whole concept is you pick your own God, you pick your own religion, you do whatever the heck you want, and no one's telling you what to do. There's no easier life than that. No one is telling you wake up in the morning for Shacharit, no one's telling you put on tefillin, no one's telling you make a bracha before you eat, no one's telling you make a bracha after you eat, no one's telling you how to go to the bathroom, no one's telling you to wear a kippah on the street, tzitzit, no one's telling you anything, because that's the God that they wanted. They wanted to tell their God what they wanted to do. They didn't want their God to tell them what to do. That's the difference between Jews and the Mitzrim and in Mitzrayim, right? In Mitzrayim, what was their God? What was the God of the Egyptians? The sheep, right? That was their God, right? Our God is Hashem. So the sheep, if you think about it, who is the one who leads the sheep? The shepherd, right? There's a shepherd, there's a sheep. So they wanted their God to be the sheep. Meaning what? They wanted to be the leaders of their God. They wanted to direct their God. They wanted to tell their God how they wanted their religion to be. That's called an easy life. As opposed to us, we are the shepherds. I'm sorry, we are the sheep and Hashem is the shepherd. As it says, Mizmor David, Hashem, Ro'i lo echsar. Hashem is Ro'i, Hashem is my shepherd. What does that mean? I'm following you. You tell me where to go. Like Hashem told Avram, Ela aretz asher ara'eka. I'm going to go. You tell me where to go. I'm going to go. I'm going to follow you. You're my shepherd. I'm the sheep. Tell me where to go. We don't try to mold our religion into our own desires. We try to mold our desires into our religion. That's the difference. That's the difference. So Noach tried to be metaken that. He was not successful, unfortunately. So they wanted relaxation. They wanted peace. The generation of the Mabul, they wanted peace. They wanted relaxation. So Hashem said, what? You want relaxation? I'll give you relaxation. He brought the Mabul. What's the Mabul? Water. What's water? What does that represent? What's the most relaxing scene that you could possibly see? Water. You go to the beach, you see the waves. So relaxing. The Pasuk says, Almei menuchot yinahaleni. Water is menucha. Hashem says, you want menucha? I'll give you an overdose of menucha. I'll overdose you on menucha. I'll give you plenty of water. That's the midah keneged midah of the generation of the Mabul. They wanted relaxation. Hashem gave them relaxation. But too much relaxation on this world equals destruction. That's what it comes out to. So now we go to Lech Lecha. And Lech Lecha, some of the Mefarshim say that Avraham Avinu fixed, he was mitaken the chet of Adam HaRishon. How is Avraham Avinu mitaken the chet of Adam HaRishon? Because he fixed this same exact point. He was not the shepherd, he was the sheep. He said, Hashem, you tell me where to go. Hashem says, yeah, let's see, I'm going to test you. Leave everything, leave your entire family and come with me and go. Where am I going? Somewhere. Leave your birthplace. My birthplace, he didn't... You know, us leave our birthplace, we feel very connected to our birthplace. Why? My family, my house, I grew up in this house, my park, my school, I feel so connected. No, leave it. Leave your hometown. Leave your birthplace. Where am I going? Don't worry, just go. Avram did even ask a question? He didn't ask a question. He said, no problem, let's do it. Just tell me how to go, I'm going to go. I'll follow you. I'll follow where you want me to go. That was Avram Avinu's purpose in life. That was his purpose in life. And Rabotai, that should be our purpose in life also. We have to understand that on this world, we're supposed to be running, and running, and running. To where? Shamayim. Sham. There. There. Finding out what our destination in life is, and running towards there. Not trying to be, not just being distracted by all the other external distractions that are out there in the world, that are trying to veer us away. I remember when my oldest daughter was like 1 year old, she just started walking, like one and a half, I don't remember how exactly, maybe two, I don't know. She just started walking. So I placed her about 2 feet, 3 feet away from me. And I said, okay, come. And she stood up and she started walking. And I said, come, like she, you know, look at me, come. And I made like these funny faces and I laid out my arms and I said, come. And then all of a sudden, there was like this toy that has like a sensor that if you come near the toy, it like lights up and plays some music. So she got near the toy while she was walking towards me, right? And then she stopped, she looked at the toy, she got down on her knees and she started crawling to the toy. And I tried it again, and again, and again. And she got distracted every time. And I thought, right then and there, I thought, wow, how often is it that with all of us, we get up in the morning, we say, fine, this is what we want to do. This is what this is our goal, this is our destination. And how often is it, Rabotai, that things distract us along the way? But we have to get back up and continue running. Continue running. If you're in a relay race, you're in a marathon, and you fall, what do? You start crying? No, you get up and you continue running. Because the purpose of the marathon is to run. Is to run. That's the purpose of this world. So a person who follows this, person who lives life like this, has a much higher quality of life. His quality of life is better. He enjoys life so much more. Literally minutes ago when I went to pick up the food, okay, I saw an alumni, someone who graduated, and he said, Rabbi, I want to tell you, the past 2 weeks, I got up for Minyan every single morning. I got up at 6 in order to go to a specific Minyan. And you know what he told me? I can't make this up. This literally happened minutes ago. Okay? He said, I've never felt better in my life. That's what he said. I've never felt better in my life. I feel so good. I went 2 weeks and I controlled myself. I got up early and I went to Minyan. He's running. Running to his destination. There's no greater feeling than that. When you're running and you know where you're going to. You know that Hashem wants you to run. And you're being productive. And then you look back and you see, wow, I got so far. That's amazing. That's enjoyable. Perhaps that's what Rashi means when he says in the beginning, Lech Lecha, go for yourself. Why go for yourself? Why the double Lashon? Lech Lecha. Why two? So Rashi says, Lehana'atcha, for your own pleasure, and Letovatcha, and for your own benefit. What's the difference? So pleasure means, what's pleasure? Pleasure means on this world. You're actually going to enjoy your time on this world much more if you're productive, if you're running, if you have a destination to go to. Letovatcha, for your own good, in the big picture, it's going to be much better for you. Because when you get to the next world, they're going to lay out the red carpet for you. It's better for you, it's good for you. It's for your own pleasure, and it's also good for you. It's like eating, I don't know, like a fruit. That's delicious. You enjoy it, but it's also good for you. That's exactly what it's like. So that's why it says that tzaddikim, because that's life. You enjoy life like that. That's why it says tzaddikim afilu b'mitatan kruim chayim. Tzaddikim, even when they're dead, what are they called?
Alive.
Alive. Because there's a next world that we're living in. A person who spent his life on this world preparing for the next world, this world was not life. The next world is life. And the opposite, Rasha'im afilu b'chayehem kruim metim. Even when they are alive, Rasha'im, they're dead. What are they doing in life? They're not going anywhere. There's a mashal I once heard from a rabbi. He said, you could have two people, okay? So there's one, the main kvish in Israel, from Tel Aviv to Yerushalayim, what's it called?
Kvish
Echad. Okay? Kvish Echad or Kvish Shesh, right? Kvish Echad. Yeah. So let's say Kvish Echad. Kvish Echad, right? So you're somewhere in the middle between Tel Aviv and Yerushalayim. Okay? You want to get to Yerushalayim. That's where you want to go. So there are two people. One person has a nice, beautiful Benz, S550, right? Beautiful, beautiful car. He gets into his car. Luxury, leather seats. Ah. The other guy has this old broken down tustus. He gets in, he hops on and it's like barely going there, So he knows where he's going. That person, the one on the tustus. He has a destination. Where's the destination? Yerushalayim. He's going up the mountains, and it's elevating, and it's hard for him to get up the mountain, but he's going, and he's pushing, finally gets up there. He gets there, Baruch Hashem, such a good experience. The other dude, he gets into his car, he puts on the MP3 player, or the auxiliary, whatever, Apple Play, right? And then he opens up the sunroof, and the air-conditioned seats, right? Air-conditioned steering wheel, and a DVD system, and the glove compartment, it makes him a cup of coffee, and he's enjoying his time. Little does he know that the car is driving. Oh, he's driving really, really fast. He's flooring it. He's making, donuts on the Han Kvish Echad. Beautiful. Oh, he's having such a good time, right? Little does he know, where is he going? The opposite direction. He doesn't realize. Why doesn't he realize? He thinks he's having a good time. But after a couple hours, where he finds himself in Tel Aviv, and I don't mean this as a knock to Tel Aviv, I'm just using two different places, right? Maybe I am, I don't know. But when he finds himself in Tel Aviv, he's like, oh my God, where did I go? I just wasted 2 hours. But I enjoyed myself, had a good time. Yeah, but you're not where you're supposed to be. The other guy, he had a miserable time. He tried, he was trying. And at the end of the day, he looked back and said, wow. Oh, Hashem. Judaism believes that we're all placed on this world with a mission. We all have a mission to do what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from each and every single one of us. Our job in this world is to be productive, to always be running. That's how you fulfill the purpose of living on Eretz. To be Ratz, to be running. Where? Sham, Shamayim. That's where. This world, the closest thing we have to Shamayim is Eretz Yisrael, is the land of Israel. It's the closest thing we have to it. As it says in Halel, what does it say in Halel? Et halech lifnei Hashem be'artzot ha'chaim. I will walk before Hashem in the land of Chaim, the land of life. What does it mean the land of life? Says the Radak, really all the Mefarshim, but the Radak speaks this out very nicely. He says, ki hi nikret Eretz Chaim. Right, Eretz Yisrael is called Eretz Chaim. Why? Lefi shemetim shelach chaim bitchirat ametim. Because the ones who die in Eretz Yisrael, they're resurrected. They come back to life. What's going on over there? Those are people who spent their entire lives living life by running. Eretz Yisrael is Eretz HaChaim. It's a land filled with life. The Gemara says, Amar Rav Yirmiyah, as the Gemara in Ketubot, Daf Kuf Yud Aleph, Amar Rav Yirmiyah Bar Abba, Amar Rav Yochanan, Kol HaMe'alech Arba Amot Be'Eretz Yisrael, whoever walks Dalet Amot in Eretz Yisrael, what does it say? Muftach Lo Sheu Ben HaOlam Haba. He's a person that belongs in Olam Haba. What's a connection? That's exactly the connection. Eretz Yisrael represents Olam Haba. Another Gemara in Pesachim, Daf Kuf Yud Gimel, the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yochanan, Shlosha Minochalei Olam Haba. There are three people that are considered ones who inherit Olam Haba. One of them is Hadar Be'Eretz Yisrael. One of them lives in Eretz Yisrael. You live in Eretz Yisrael, you're a person who's a Ben Olam Haba. That's what you are. Shamayim equals Eretz Yisrael. Eretz equals the Galut, which is Olam Hazeh. So our job in this world is to live a life of Eretz, but to be running in order to get to what? To that place called Eretz Yisrael, to that place called Shamayim, to that place called Olam Haba. We have to ask ourselves, what are we trying to accomplish with our actions? Are we being constructive with our actions? Are we building? Are we just wasting our time? Are we spending our entire day thinking about money, thinking about fame, thinking about popularity? Is that what we're spending our days doing? Or are we just thinking about how to be a better Jew? So this is very interesting. This is if anyone saw the title that I put for this shiur, it's very, very confusing. Let me explain. There was a set of pictures that went viral last week on social media. The pictures showed a dark-skinned man. He was laying in his coffin, you know, like where he was being buried, with many gold necklaces, chains, bracelets, necklaces, you know, wrapped around himself. Another picture, right, along with, it was like a group of like four or five pictures. Another picture showed nice Mercedes-Benz covered with Swarovski crystals. Literally, the entire car was covered with it. Another one showed a room filled with stacks of dollar bills. Not dollar bills, like stacks of Benjamin Franklin's. Right? Another one showed an airplane that was made out of pure gold. And so on and so forth. A few more pictures. And then the caption, what do the captions say? Quote, "The richest man in Kuwait, Nasi Al-Karki, passed away. Check out all his treasures and assets. He can't carry a single thing with him. This is a grim reminder to all." That's what it said. It happens to be that it was fake news. Okay? It wasn't totally true. It was really a picture of a millionaire real estate mogul from Trinidad. Alright? That's really what the picture was about. Right? He was murdered in a drive-by shooting. He was laid to rest, and that was the real picture of him. Right? The other pictures of the planes and the cars, that didn't really belong to him. But the point of the story is not totally true, but the message is 100% true. He did not take a single thing with him in the next world. He was laid to rest with over $100,000 worth of valuables that was wrapped around him in that coffin. But it's foolish. Because it's all a joke. It's all a dream. It's all an illusion. He's not taking anything with him. He spent his entire life. He passed away, you know, unfortunately, at a very young age of 33. I don't know why I'm like, you know, saying that, feeling sorry for him. Like, I don't know, who knows what this guy did. But like, he passed away very young. And still, he spent his whole life on money. He didn't take a single thing with him. There's a mashal that's brought down in the Ma'am Lo'ez, in the Hakdama to Sefer Bereshit. I hope I could say this correctly, and with this we're going to end. It's a mashal with a king. Obviously, every mashal starts with a king. It's a mashal with a king that had three sons. And his sons were little. He made a decree, and the decree was, if anyone wants any part of my riches, he's going to have to do something really, really big in order to earn it. And he gave a list of a few things that people could do to earn it. Fine. Slowly, you know, his sons grew up. They got bigger. And his sons, you know, they said, listen, you know, Abba, can we have a car? Abba, can we have, you know, the newest iPhone? You know, they start asking for things, which, you know, they should. After all, they are all princes. Their father is, you know, one of the richest people in the world. Fine. He said, yeah, but I already made a decree that in order for anyone to have to have pleasure from any of my possessions, he's going to have to do something big. So I'll tell you guys what you need to do. I need all three of you to go on a boat and go to the specific island. I'll have one of my, people take you there. I want you to stay there and come back and tell me something that you experienced. Bring something big. Tell me something like really smart and wise and intelligent. And then we'll talk. Fine. I said, yeah, no problem. So all three of them got on a boat. They land on this island. It's a gorgeous island. With greenery and grass and the floors are all covered with stones. And there's like a bar at every corner. There are beautiful, delicious looking fruits growing on trees. Every fruit you could think of. There's a carving station over here with the most expensive meats. Like anything you could think of. Right? All the pleasures in the world you have on this island. So one brother, the first brother, he was hungry. He said, wow, I've never seen like a smorgasbord like this in my life. He goes, he eats from here, eats from there, drinks here, drinks there, gets drunk, overeats, gets drunk again, overeats again. Basically passes out because he ate so much and drank so much. The second brother, he had dollar bill signs in his eyes. Instead of thinking about food, he thought about money. So he had a little knapsack with him. So what did he spend his time doing? Carrying, he started filling up that bag with all the diamonds. Now along the way, the entire time, the people who lived on that island kept on telling them, remember, you're not staying on this island forever. You're leaving in 2 weeks. That's number one. Number two, you will not be allowed to take anything with you when you leave. Despite that, the guy who wanted to eat, that's what he spent his time doing. Eating. The second guy, he didn't care. He was so amazed with all the money and all the jewels, and all the diamonds and all the gold and the coins. He filled up his bag. Not only filled up his bag, he said, there's no more room in the bag, but I want to take more. He took off his clothes and he was bare naked. And he tied it up in a way that formed a bag. And he filled that up also. He said, listen, all right, I'll buy new clothes later. With all this money, I could buy plenty of clothes, you know? And that's what he did. The third guy, he said, I want to know, I'm so curious about who the owner of this island is. He must have been Jewish, right? He's like trying to figure out who the owner is. Only Jews do that. Yeah? So who is the owner? Who's the owner of this island? And he goes around talking to people, getting more research and this and that. He couldn't find anything. But he was on a mission. He wanted to find out more about this island. What was it all about? So comes 2 weeks. Okay? They get off of the island. They go onto the boat. The first brother, he ate so much and drank so much that the change of the temperature between the island and the boat killed him on the spot. He felt so heavy and unhealthy that just the slight change in temperature, bam, dead. The second brother, they look at him, they said, you think you could fool us? We told you, you can't take anything with you. They took away his knapsack. They took away all his clothes, which he turned into a knapsack. And he got back onto the boat, bare naked. Nothing, with literally nothing on him. The third brother, he spent his time just asking, talking. And then while, here and there, he just took, a few of the gems that he found on the floor. He hid it inside of his mouth, and no one even paid attention to it. He said, listen, I'm very curious about this. I just want to take a souvenir so I could show my father, the king, what it was like over here. They get back on the boat, two brothers, one of them is dead. They finally get back to the city, the main city of the king, and they get off the boat. They rest at shore. They arrive at shore. And one of the guards over there, right away they come and they say, who is this? They don't want anyone invading the king's property. They say, who are you guys? So the person who was naked, he said, hey, I'm the prince. You remember me? And he's like, you're not the prince. The prince wouldn't be walking around with that clothes. Take him to prison right away. Just like that. He said, what are you talking about? I, the king, my father, he's my... Nothing. They didn't want to hear. The second guy, hey, who are you? Oh, I'm the prince. Oh, really? Yeah. He came the same way, came back the same way that he went there, dressed like a prince. Fine. He made it to the king. And the king asked him, Nu, So what did you? I don't know. I spent my time trying to figure it out. I couldn't figure out who it belongs to. I managed to take a few things just to show you, to prove to you. I wanted to tell you what it was like over there. He said, "What was it like?" He said, "Here, let me show you. There are two, these two things I want to show you. It was like, the whole floor was covered with this." And the king said, "You're getting all of my riches. Why?" He said, "That whole island belonged to me. And the truth, it was a test, and you're the only one who passed it." That's the mashal. Mamloy says, this is exactly this world Olam Hazeh. What are we spending our lives doing? Spending our lives eating, spending our lives enjoying the pleasures of this world. The second we get to Olam Haba, there's going to be that slight change in temperature. And Chas V'Shalom, they're going to look at us and say, "You won't be able to survive here." Are we going to live like that? Are we going to be worrying about money our whole lives over here? And then at the end, when we're after 120 years, we'll be buried. You think you're going to be buried with all those things that person from Trinidad was buried with? They're going to laugh at you in Shemayim. What were you thinking? Instead, we should be spending our time figuring out and trying to study who it is that created this island. Who is he? What's he all about? We try to study him a little more. The way to study it is Torah. Torah is Hashem's book. Hashem wrote it. Hashem's the author. Study it. Then finally, when we get to Shemayim, Hashem's going to ask us, how is this world? What were we doing in this world? We'll be saying, "It's very, very interesting. Let me tell you more about it." And you talk about all the niflot, about all the beautiful things in the creation, Hashem's creation. So Hashem should help us just come to this understanding and live a life of Avraham, that Avraham instilled inside of each and every single one of us. This concept, this idea of being productive, of running, of always running and thinking about what our destination is in life. Where are we supposed to go? Living aretz, living a life on aretz, on this world, to be running, to be ratz. Always having in mind Shamayim, that is our destination. That is our final destination. That's where we're supposed to go. Every action that we do on this world should be geared towards there, with that destination in mind. And with that, Bezat Hashem, we should all be zoche to the coming of Mashiach, and to celebrating with each other, and with Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, amen, in Eretz Yisrael, in Eretz HaChaim. Thank you so much for listening, guys.